and gentlemen. Let's go. Gaming, tech, culture.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go. Hit
it. You're listening to the Cool Black Nerd Podcast, presented by Say What Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 28 of the Cool Black Nerd Podcast. This is Nickel. I'm your host, Jules, here with our co-host, Justice. How are you doing today?
Doing awesome.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. How's everybody out there doing? I don't know. I hope you're doing well.
Yes.
Justice, let's just jump into it.
Okay.
Let's talk about, man, what should we talk about first? I think Pandora Papers.
Pandora Papers, man. Why I got to pay the five and they don't? Why I got to pay it?
I think that's just how life works on Earth. at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's kind of like the worst kept secret out there. We know that billionaires and those who have money seem to have extra privileges that, you know, us common folk don't. But this was enlightening. Just the entire setup to me of how this was done. And it's all legal.
All right. Well, let's let them know what the Pandora Papers are first.
So Pandora Papers are basically entities or sort of like trusts specifically set up for the reason to not pay as much taxes or pay any taxes. And in most cases, they've been set up on offshore accounts. Most people think and hear about, you know, Cayman Islands or Swiss bank accounts, which actually that's kind of like a myth now because Swiss government has cracked down a lot on that type of stuff. So they don't allow it as much as they did before. And it's a little bit more intricate in that. So that's no longer the thing. But places like, if I'm not mistaken, South Dakota.
Yeah, there's definitely some places in the U.S. Yep.
Making it more of a thing to basically just hide your money. For the most part, but the Pandora Papers were essentially an investigation that came out to be able to expose the people who were doing this the most. It was an investigation, not a specific source. It was just kind of like a Scooby-Doo gang type thing. Yes, that's a term I'm using now. But I mean, it essentially just kind of highlighted all of these, I don't want to say money laundering type level of stuff, but it was just generally I have money and I'm not going to give it to anybody else. And this is legal, so I'm going to do it.
Right. Yeah, it's all about just hiding money.
As much as you can, yeah.
Hiding as much money as they could. For the most part, it seems like really just to avoid paying taxes on it.
Yeah.
And it talked about how they did it. And some of it is not very surprising. Some of it, we've had, you know, former presidents engaged in it. But anyway, some of them, the way that they're, you know, involved in it all has to do with real estate. And it's not real estate like, you know, like a normal person would do it. Not like I'm saying, oh, I'm going to go buy a house and then I'm going to rent it out and I'm going to have, you know, some income from the rental property. No, what they would do, there would be like a foreign shell company set up. So like they would start a random, you know, real estate company that's based in, it's funny that you said Cayman Islands earlier, and actually some of them are in fact in the Cayman Islands. They you know, start like a real estate company in the Cayman Islands. Then that company buys some property in the United States. And then what they would do is they would on paper buy the company in the Cayman Islands. So it's not that they own the property and that they have to pay taxes on it. It's this foreign company that owns it and now doesn't pay taxes.
Yep.
And they just happen to own that foreign company.
Yep.
So it's stuff like that.
And it's been something that, as Jules said, has been going on for years. Hell, I mean, at some point in time, there was some weird stuff going on with Apple where, say, for instance, you bought, like anything that you bought overseas that was Apple based wasn't coming from Apple Inc. out in Cupertino, California. It was coming from like Apple International Holdings something or another that was based in Ireland or some weird ass place, and that was how they were getting around paying certain international taxes and things like that. So they've been not necessarily rectified at this point, but they have been fined for it. So
yeah,
not just them.
Yeah. So I think that was the thing the papers really tried to highlight, is that hey, there's a lot of millionaires and billionaires that are taking advantage of these loopholes and doing things that are, I'm going to say, questionably legal.
Yeah.
At best, and just highlighting that there's so much money floating around that's largely unaccounted for.
The thing that got me that really, as we said earlier, as you said earlier, the amount of places here in the U.S. this is happening in now, as states specifically have been making laws to be able to have this financial secrecy come about. And it started off in like being able to make these sort of trusts that allow it. And what they were saying is like in the past decade, 10 years, this has been able to generate $360 billion worth of wealth going through these trusts. That's insane.
Yes. Yeah.
10 years.
That's an incredible amount of money. It's an incredible amount of money. Here's the thing, though. For me, I'm not sure how I feel about it, because I'm questioning like, hey, if I had the ability to do it, would I do it? I'm going to have to say the answer is yes. Especially for the ones that are, you know, just legal ways to do it. Like I said, there's some that are questionable at best, but there are definitely some things that are being done that at the moment are 100% legal. And I find myself, I want to say it was Warren Buffett who was like, I should absolutely, like he feels like he should absolutely pay way more in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, the reason I don't is because I don't have to.
Yeah. Like,
close the loopholes and
I will.
Yeah. I will. But I mean, legal for me to do it this way, I'm going to do that.
But I find it so crazy where, you know, you have those new laws that are, or new stipulations and regulations that are coming in from the administration that, oh, if you got $600 over in like Cash App or Zelle payment or something like that,
mm-hmm.
the IRS needs to be taking a closer look at it, or just taking a closer look at your bank accounts in general. So like, so you know, the people that you can go after don't have this type of money. But the people that you do know have it, you're just not going after them because they're not, I don't understand. They're not breaking the law. Is it unethical? Possibly. Illegal? No, not in any way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. Or these, I think it's private investment company, the PICs, let me just say that. Private investment companies that these people are using to do this and trust, are they illegal? But it's just like, you see the stuff that we're going through trying to update and progress the country, yet you don't want to put in your fair share for it or even close to it. I know previously they had put out the billionaires who had actually paid taxes or whatever. And like most of them, for like the percentage of their wealth, it was always coming down to either 1% or like 0.8% or less, which is insane. Yet, you know, majority are paying like 35.
When you start talking about taxes, I think people do miss that. Like as we... Like you look and you see, oh, it says, you know, people that get this amount of income per year get taxed at some, you know, what we would consider a high number.
Mm-hmm.
But you really need to look at what their effective tax rate is. Like, what do they, sure, that's what their, you know, their income tax rate is on paper. But what do they actually pay after accounting for all of these loopholes, after doing things like where you look at somebody like Elon Musk, who has said this himself, like he doesn't actually take any income from his businesses.
Mm-hmm.
What he does is he takes out loans.
Yeah.
Loans. Obviously, you don't pay tax on income from loans. And then he just pays the loans back. So he doesn't pay taxes that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, for instance, in 2014 to 2018, Jeff Bezos reported $4.22 billion in income and paid $973 million in taxes.
Sounds like a lot.
Sounds like a lot. But add that up. $4.22 billion. But in that same time, his actual net worth grew by $99 billion.
I mean, I'm just saying, though, I wish I had somebody could actually do the math right here, but my mind, quick math, which is probably wrong, is telling me that $973 million is less than 1% of $4.2
billion.
Mm. Yeah, that $973 million is maybe 2 or 3%.
Which is insane. Of the $4.2 billion?
Yeah.
So if you did it, okay, so let's, so his wealth grew by $99 billion, but he paid $973 million. So what is that percentage? Like your wealth is actually basically $100 billion.
Yeah.
Like, that's even
$900 million.
Come on. Like, seriously. Yet when they bring up people making over $100,000 or even $75,000, I think it's like 35% that is taken from them. 35%. Probably so
when you add up. Yeah, potentially when you add up everything, it could definitely be that much. And by everything, I'm saying, you know, income tax, Social Security, state income taxes, if they have state mm-hmm. income taxes and whatever else. It could definitely end up being like 35% for sure.
Because they were trying to raise. Okay, so like the capital gains tax, which is another thing that a lot of people have an issue with. They were wanting to raise it from 37% to 39.6%.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of the highest rates that you can be in the tax bracket. So after you hit it, and I don't know if people know that. So I think it's like 150,000 or maybe 200,000. Somebody, you know, you guys give me some comments on this episode. Send me some messages. Cool Black Nerd Podcast on Instagram. Let us know your take on this. But I think the highest tier or tier bracket you can be in on taxes is like somewhere around 150,000, 200,000. And at that point, whatever you're taxed at will be the same as what somebody's making $2 million, $10 million, $5 million. That's insane. Like it does not go any higher after that. But they're thinking about raising the current one, which is, I think, about 37% to 39.6%. And then also taxing any capital gains that people have on ordinary income, which would happen for the highest income taxpayers, honestly, because you have investments and other financial stuff that could actually come out and give you a little bit more income, just not specifically from like a job or a consultant thing that you have necessarily.
Yeah. Just for the record, the highest tax rate is for people, single people making $518,000
okay.
or more. And that's at 37%.
37%. So mm-hmm. you'd be making the same as somebody $5 million. Seriously? That does not seem fair whatsoever. Whatsoever. But okay, I digress. I don't know if any of that. And then I'm pretty sure once you get to that level or even somewhere in 200,000 range, people are looking for tax loopholes. Of course, because it's just like you giving it away at that point or feeling like that, especially if you're working at something where you have to do a little bit more than the average person. Because a lot of the times, let's say, for instance, in tech, people will be like, oh, well, they're just sitting at a desk. Not everybody's like that. You do have those engineers who are doing more of the hard work and they are moving and, you know, cutting up fingers and stuff like that. Are they doing a super amount of manual labor? No, but they're doing more than what I think people realize in doing day-to-day stuff. Whereas you'll have some of the other engineers on that we're actually putting together, say, for instance, the shuttle. They're making, you know, hundreds of thousands and they're doing manual labor and putting this stuff together all the time. So hell, there are some people in construction making that. So it ebb and flow when it comes to some of that stuff. But I think a lot of the times it's just people will just, oh, they're just sitting behind the desk making that money. Nah. And plus the mental stress can be a little bit more, but that's another show.
Yeah. I say that's a whole nother topic. I'm not going to get into do people deserve to be paid what they get paid.
Yeah.
As we're talking about this, I just think that, man, for most people, there's all of these tax loopholes that exist, or there's ways to hide money or ways to just deal with finances so that you don't have to actually pay the taxes that are even currently on the books. Hmm. Whether or not you think they're too high, too low, or however they need to be adjusted, I think everybody can agree that at the moment, for the people that have the means to do it, it's very easy to not actually pay what ostensibly you should be paying. Because, I mean, since it's legal, I mean, you shouldn't pay what you shouldn't, what you don't have to. But yep. I just think that all of these loopholes and all of these games that people are able to play
is interesting.
I'm interested. I'm fascinated by it. I think it's interesting. I think a lot of that stuff needs to be fixed. Yeah. That's what I had to say about it.
So I wonder if this kind of goes, or how people feel about it when they have it, seeing everything that's come to light from the Twitch hack. And if you guys don't know about that, people were up in arms.
Yeah, the Twitch hack. Oh, my goodness.
They were up in arms about some of the stuff that came out from there.
Yep. So off the top, I'm going to say that according to Twitch, at least, that no, you know, nobody's personal payment information or personal subscription information was released.
Yeah, users.
User
yeah.
information, yeah. yeah. But what we did get and what a lot of people found surprising was the amount of money that some of the streamers actually are making from Twitch. Personally, I'm not surprised, but a lot of people were surprised to find out like some of your top streamers are making millions and millions of dollars per year or shit, even per month.
Depending
on the streamer from Twitch subscriptions and from ad revenue and stuff.
Well, actually, no, it was literally all of this is just from Twitch.
Oh, it was literally the subscriptions, not even the ads that they were in.
Nope. Just Twitch.
Okay. Oh my goodness. So yeah. So they're probably making even more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, I'm not surprised, but DevGamer's making that much money, but I'm like, you subscribe to them. They're getting your five a month or whatever.
And I think that's what people don't really get. And I'm thinking they believe like, oh, I just gave them $5. They only got $5. No, you're not. You were watching the stream and seeing people say such and such subscribed in the little right hand corner. That happens hundreds, sometimes thousands of times during that stream, depending on how long they're on there or just the time frame in general. And you also have to think about it. You also have other people who will gift subscriptions to other people. And Jules is saying, you know, this is at the low end of the $5. They have
subscriptions that is the low end.
$26, $27.
Yeah, yeah, that five is the lowest subscription you can do. And, you know, it's a recurring thing. It's per month. They're taking advantage of that subscription-based business model.
Yep.
Very easy to tell how much income they're going to receive each month.
And I mean, if you go to their page and it says, just for an example, Moist Critical has 7.5 million subscribers. And this is just a number I'm throwing out. I don't know if that's correct. Times five that. Come on. Really? We really surprised?
Exactly. I'm not. I mean, because, hey, once you hit, look, you hit 200,000 subscribers. That's, you know, $5 subscription. Guess what, guys? That's $1 million a month. That's $12 million a year.
Come on, man.
They are in that 37% tax bracket for sure.
So I found it really, really interesting. And I think it just may be of kind of like a eat the rich feeling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were kind of giving that off a little bit earlier about that. But we just want them to pay their fair share and talking about the Pandora Papers and taxes and stuff. But I think now in this day and age of, you know, after the pandemic, so many people have lost their jobs, their employment, and, you know, the feeling of being expendable, what do you call it, essential versus non-essential type thing. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm gonna be honest, if y'all come for me, don't come for Jules or anybody else. This is my opinion. I think it's older generations that are just going like, well, it's just some kids sitting on their ass playing video games. It's a lot more to that, because just like what you watching, you know, the old CBS news, nightly news and stuff, it takes a lot to go into that broadcast. Sometimes it's a one-man team doing it. Sometimes it's a whole production that goes through it to get all this done. But you have to give these people props and being able to put out the same sort of content and production value that those nightly news or, you know, even scripted sitcoms do. And it's literally they doing it from their house.
Yeah, so, you're right. And sometimes they're not a lot of them do actually have a team that you never would know about. I think about one of the streamers I watch, Asta Cross. Like, I remember like a YouTube video, and he kind of went through his process of like mm-hmm. how the streams work. So the actual stream itself, there's 2 to 3 people who are watching him while he's streaming. In addition to himself, he's taking notes. They're also taking notes of when and where their stream should be edited in order to make a video.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have people who actually go in using those notes, edit the video. Even the editors have like a little creative team of where are we going to put the funny sounds? Where are we going to put the funny like little memes and all this kind of stuff in the video? What are we going to do to make the thumbnail look nice? So there's like for a lot of them, there's an entire team of people that you never see.
Yep.
That make those streams what they are, make the videos that they make from the streams, whatever they end up being. So yeah, I think it's twofold, right? Like, I kind of agree with you. I think there's a lot of people who would say that those people are just sitting on their ass playing video games all day. And for the people who are very successful, that are making, I'm even going to put it like this, that are making enough income to for that to be their actual job and be their only job, there's usually a way more going into it than people would consider. And keep in mind, we haven't even talked about marketing. Like, you don't, like, they're not just getting
exactly
subscribers by just by literally just going live on Twitch. Like, that's not, it doesn't work that way. Like, they're doing things to make sure that they get eyes on them.
Yep. Yep. So even if you don't, like, I believe one of the most followed people on Twitch was Ninja. I don't know if he still is, but he wasn't even because he hasn't been on there in the last year or so. Like, he just got back on there. He wasn't even out of the top 10. And the man hadn't been putting out content consistently over the past year. That's crazy. He hadn't even fallen out of the top 10. Insane. And there are other aspects of it too. So some of the people that will stream or be on there, I'm not sure if he's always on there, but I know Mr. Beast, who's a person that who's on generally on YouTube or whatever, but dude gives away like $100,000 just in games or challenges or things like that. And then on top of that, gives extra money out to like the fourth, fifth, I'm from the second to fourth place or whatnot. So there is a lot of money to be made. And also, like, it's a lot that goes into it. You can't just do that as one thing. Like, for our YouTube clips that are on Say What Radio YouTube, we have our gaming stuff that goes up there. Me and Jules, and we still have those. We don't stream. And that's generally because of what we're talking about now. There's a lot that goes into it. It's easier to.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on. I'll be honest, I ain't got time. I ain't got it. I'm not even trying to do that. You know, shout out to everybody who, you know, you got time for it and you want to do it, go for it. I support you.
Right.
Matter of fact, let me know what's up. I might subscribe to you. I said might, as long as I still got my little Amazon Prime.
Yeah, we're expanding. So, you know, go ahead and subscribe to, we are keeping that content updated. It is probably more on like a monthly basis with everything that's going on, but we do have clips and we do post all of that stuff. So just go ahead and go and subscribe, hit that like button too. Give us some $5.
You know, how all of your YouTubers and your Twitch people, they always say like and subscribe. And people are like, man, that's some old whatever. It's crazy. We need that. I need y'all to do that. Please.
Oh, man.
Well, anyway, speaking of revenue streams and how you can make money, Jessica, when is the last time you went to McDonald's and had an ice cream cone?
Not in this decade.
Not in this decade. So what happens most of the time?
It's broken.
It's broken. Do you know why it's broken?
I've heard rumors about different reasons as to why. And it pisses me off because the things are good. Like, if you've ever had a McFlurry, I'm sorry, let me go on this rant. If you've ever had a McFlurry, those are actually pretty freaking good. But... like, why are you depriving me of this? Like, I'm not complaining or anything, but I got to go to Chick-fil-A and go get me an ice cream cone. And I look weird because I'm just at Chick-fil-A for an ice cream cone.
All right. And here's the thing. I'm going to say this too, guys. Secret menu item at McDonald's, if you can find one where the ice cream machine is working and you've got to find a little worker that's willing to do it. Listen to me now. You buy an apple pie and then you get like the vanilla ice cream. Just get it in a cup. You don't really want to get it in a cone. But see if they can mix that up with your apple pie using the little McFlurry mixer thing. And let me tell you something. That apple cinnamon pie vanilla ice cream, so damn good. But that's all I got never for you. Even,
you know what? The secret menu, they used to have them. I don't know if they still do. They used to have sweet potato pies like the apple pies. And I remember, them being able to do that with it because they would ask, do you want a scoop of ice cream with it? I remember that. Now you're making me.
Well, anyway, don't go do that. It's incredibly unhealthy. But you're probably not going to be able to get it anyway because the ice cream machine is usually broken. So here's the thing. I've heard two reasons, and we actually found out recently what the actual reason is. The first reason I heard, which apparently was true, but in most cases they would still do it. It just takes too long to clean it. They say it would take between 4 and 6 hours for somebody to clean out the ice cream machine. And nobody wants to do that. So they just wouldn't. so they would never just like they would just never turn it on. But what really is happening, and this actually came out in a lawsuit, I believe, the manufacturer for the ice cream machines at McDonald's has been accused of purposely making them faulty so that they would have to do the repairs, because McDonald's is not allowed, and neither are their franchisees allowed, to have someone else, like a third party repair company, come in and fix the ice cream machines.
Actually, it was a whole, it was a spin to it. So what happened is that you're right. The company was making them faulty on purpose. So a company, if I'm not mistaken, I forgot the name of it, but a company came up with a tool to be able to fix it. It was a third party company. And that third party company started marketing to these franchises, even to McDonald's, about being able to fix this because they knew what the issue was and they were able to fix it, and also help with the cleaning, bringing down the cleaning time almost 80%. So they continued on marketing this. And at one point in time, the company who makes the machines got, I guess, the tool or whatever, and then tried to reverse engineer it and steal the company secrets from this company to put them out of business and go behind their back saying to McDonald's and to the franchisees, oh, it's breaking the machines. That's what's actually breaking the machines. It's not us. It's not that it's faulty. This is what's breaking it, when the company had already found out. I mean, the third party company had already found out that, hey, yeah, they're doing this shit on purpose. If you flick this little switch and add this to it, it will work perfectly each time. Which at that point, that's when McDonald's was like, OK, everybody stop this. We've been paying all this for that. And of course, now it's, as Jewel said, it's in a lawsuit and they're going back and forth on it. And it came up right when this whole thing about right to repair began.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really gaining traction now, because it's seeming like more and more manufacturers are trying to make things where they have like a obsolete date to be able to get more money out of you. So you will either buy a software package and maintenance package, or just a new machine up in general, such as what John Deere does. And John, when I tell you, John Deere is on some, I have never seen such blatant, we'll just buy the newest and you'll be all right. So John Deere, I don't know if you know the John Deere name or not.
I'm familiar. I'm from Texas.
Okay. Well, for those of you not, John Deere makes kind of like heavy industrial equipment for farming, mm-hmm. for the most part. So around 2010-ish, maybe a little earlier or a little later, but, you know, turn of the century for the most part. A turn of the decade, depending on where you're at. John Deere started making where their tractors are way more software heavy. And for people who have been, you know, having these, you know, the John Deere name, they trusted this brand. So they knew what they could do with it mechanically. It would be like, you know, people got old Fords. They knew what I could do to actually upgrade it or change it and, you know, do the most of the maintenance myself. John Deere was like, nah, we need the money. So what they would do is, once the software on this machine became like where there was a, like, for instance, you know, everybody knows the Cyberpunk came out and it came out in a terrible state. Theirs would have bugs in it. To get the fix, they would be like, buy the newest tractor, not an upgrade, the newest tractor, and you'll have the fix. Like, wait, what? And then there'll any of the like add-ons or things that were coming. Oh, this is only going to work with the newest tractor. So yeah, I don't know if you guys are thinking about it, but heavy industrial equipment is not cheap. These things go hundreds of thousands of dollars and up. So, you know, people have put an investment in and they can't really do anything with it because they're making it to where they're obsolete and can't actually work. But the fixes are available. What it's leaving these farmers to do is to basically jailbreak this or pay hackers from other countries to fix this so that they continue using the tractors that they've put so much time and money into. So essentially, you know, with us, where it's just like, okay, the newest car has the latest in technology. No, theirs is just like, okay, yeah, I know this particular thing does not work and all it would take is just maybe a quick fix. They're like, no, just buy the newest $400,000 tractor and you'll be fine.
Yep. And you know what, to make it a little bit more personal for everybody, as we're talking about right to repair and what it means, I can say that something like this happened to me. And this was back in like 2009. I had a MacBook Pro that I had purchased maybe 3 years. So maybe in 2006. And, you know, just like any other laptop, you know, after 2-3 years, you are going to start having some issues with it. In my case, there was a cable, like a hard drive connector, that went bad. So I took it to Apple because, you know, one, at the time and even now, technically, no one is allowed to repair Apple products except for Apple licensed repair companies or Apple itself. So I go to the Apple store, go to the Genius Bar, set my little appointment, and I'm talking to the guy. He takes it to the back. He takes a look at it. He comes back up and he says, "Hey, there's nothing I can do. Let me show you these new MacBook Pros." And I was like, I don't want a new MacBook Pro. So, like, can you tell me what's actually wrong with it? And he was like, well, I guess give this guy some credit. I'm sure if, you know, at the time, if his managers or somebody knew what he was saying, he probably would have gotten fired. But basically, he was like, look, the problem is this cable, this hardware cable. Like, pulled it up on his phone and was like, you can buy it at Fry's for $5. It's very easy to replace it. But I'm just not allowed to do it because our system is saying your computer is too old for us to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, you know, tell you that you just need to buy a new one, no matter what's actually wrong with it.
Yep.
So I go to Fry's, I get the cable. I look at a YouTube video to replace it myself. It's incredibly easy. And when I tell you that that laptop to this day still works, and that's the only issue I've had a problem with. Like, not even that the battery, like, you would think the battery wouldn't even work right now. But no, it's fine. Like, that laptop is perfectly fine.
Yep.
And that's the only thing that I ever had to do. But because of the way Apple and other companies try to lock down who can fix their products and when they can be fixed, if I had just listened, you know, without questioning, hey, what's actually wrong with this laptop? They would have had me buying a whole new laptop for nothing. There was no reason for me to get a new one.
And so when you hear that, you're like, oh man, they just want money. But then listen to what they're saying necessarily for the reasons as to why. They're like, okay, well, we want to protect our intellectual property. We can't have everybody, you know, knowing, one, the secrets of how this works and possibly creating something different off of our product and then profiting from it. And also, we own this. And when you say, that, you're like, no, but I bought it. But at this point in time, they're kind of like contradicting or challenging what the term ownership necessarily means. So right now, with a lot of the stuff you buy, and, you know, we have this kind of like rent or a subscription-based culture for a lot of stuff. For instance, on a lot of the games that you have, even if you pay, if you buy it, if you break any of the terms of service, you can't actually access it because it's located on their servers. You don't have the physical game necessarily. You still have to connect to something else that will actually verify that you own it or whatnot. And if you've done something that they don't like, you have essentially just lost money. And that's kind of what's happening necessarily with this. Like, if you don't have, if you've pissed off Apple in some way, shape, or form, which we saw happen with Epic Games, they can basically lock you out in any investment that you've made in it. You don't have access to it. So their thing is we're protecting ourselves as well as also the customer. But is that the case necessarily? There was an issue with one of the quote unquote Apple dealers. And there have been a couple of lawsuits that have come out about this where some of the dealers have made horrible decisions and kind of like blackmailing people for the photos that they had on their phone and repairing some of the stuff. Or I believe in another case, a dude kind of just like uploaded a chick's pictures of Facebook.
Yeah, that is what happened. And so Apple is pointing to those incidents to say, see, this is why you shouldn't have people, third party companies mm-hmm. or people able to repair devices, because you don't know what's going to happen with people's private information.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. The people that, at least the ones that got caught doing it, were in fact licensed by Apple to repair the products. So
it's like you just shot yourself in the foot with that.
How safe is it either way?
And if it's able to have someone else create a business in helping this, you know, that's supposed to be part of the American dream. That's, you know, right? Am I wrong? No? Is that not what Apple did to be able to create their stuff? Somebody else had a computer and they were like, hey, we got the Macintosh. Okay. And now we got an iPhone and a whole bunch of other stuff that you don't probably need but want. But
and if it breaks, you can't fix it yourself. They're arguing, oh, people don't have the technical know-how. You're gonna make it even worse if you try to fix it yourself. Sure, you're right. There's people that will absolutely do that. But guess what? They bought it.
Yeah, you should be able to do what you want.
To me, it's theirs. If I feel like I can fix it and I go in there and try to fix it and I tear it up, it's mine.
Yeah.
I can tear it up if I want to.
But in their eyes, they're like, no, it's our intellectual property. You don't have the right to do that. And there are a lot of laws that are being written, not necessarily written. They haven't gone into law, but they're, you know, they've got bills. Let me say that are coming up where they're trying to make this legislation possible. That you cannot do this type of stuff. And of course, Apple and a lot of big tech companies are challenging it, and you know, they're lobbying against it. Microsoft was an actual very much big proponent of this in the beginning. They've kind of done a 180 in the last few months or so, but we'll see how long that lasts, because there's a few bills that are actually coming out where they're just like, you have to have other options for people to be able to repair these mm-hmm. items and things like that. And also, as I mentioned in the court case against with Epic Games and Apple, that essentially paved the way for Apple to no longer have this monopoly on them being the only payment system on the Apple store. They have to actually open it up to other people or other options for developers necessarily. And in that instance, it was great for some of the consumers, but for Epic Games, they got kicked off and they were like, hey, we don't want you playing in our sandbox no more. You tattletaled. So no, out of here.
Yeah. So, the conclusion to that lawsuit was kind of like
hilarious.
They both lost. I think.
Yeah. Epic more than anything, because a lot of the information that came out about them, say, for instance, you know, the Epic Game Store that has not been a moneymaker for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were putting out a lot of money to get exclusives from developers and gaming studios to kind of like corner the market and push Steam out, so to speak. But that it kind of backfired, you know, then some of the stuff that they were spending money on, it was just kind of like, okay, you seem like you're just burning through money to make a point. And that point backfired on them when they tried to get back on after the ruling. They were like, okay, so yeah, we lost, but let us, you know, start making this game again and put Fortnite back on Apple iOS.
Yeah.
And Apple's like, we know we said we would, but no.
Yeah, and I think that's what I think is kind of, I don't even know, I think it's funny. Like, they really both lost, because the suit was like, hey, Apple, yeah, you can't do that anymore. And then it was also like, but hey, Epic, I mean, it's still their app store, so they don't have to let you in there.
Yeah.
If they don't want to, like, there's really
no reason. Because, I mean, you broke the contract. Yes, it was wrong, but you broke the contract. You signed up for it, so.
Yeah, if they don't let you back in, I'm sorry.
Right? And now, I mean, and they also had to pay back the 30% that they had actually, from the proceeds that they generated during the time that they had actually opened up their payment system on the iOS store. And just during that time, I think it was 10 hours, 12 hours or something like that. It was over almost $200 million, which is ridiculous. And they still got to pay like 30% of that back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Look at that. And we're talking about Fortnite on iOS, guys. We're not even talking about the actual Fortnite on consoles. Mm-mm. So I don't know why you're surprised these streamers making money.
But it's interesting. This right to repair thing is going to keep going. You know, there's been like a kind of an assault. I don't want to say assault, but eye-opening, I guess, to most people of tech, and it's hands-on of culture and where we are now. So
yeah, I think it's fair. I've seen a lot of and it's everywhere, right? Like it's farming equipment. It's your personal cell phones, Apple, Samsung, whoever, computers, cars. Like I've seen it with Tesla, like your guy. What is it? Tesla Garage? What's the name of his company?
Rich Rebuild,
something like that. But yeah, like even him, like having all kind of issues trying to repair Teslas that have been salvage titled.
Yeah.
And he you know, finds that same issue with some other cars as well. I was even seeing somebody who was trying to rebuild a Lamborghini. They were talking about how simultaneously easy and difficult it was.
Yeah.
So for example, every screw on a Lamborghini is the same screw. And by that, I'm not saying it's necessarily the same length, but it takes the same like bit, the same drill head. Like you hear about a flathead screwdriver or a Phillips head screwdriver. Every single one on a Lamborghini takes the same bit, but you can't just buy that bit. Like you have to get it from Lamborghini if you can. Crazy. So it's one of those situations where it's like they've made it like incredibly easy to repair, but almost impossible if you can't get just that one tool that you need to unlock the car. And you see that with phones, you see that with so many other products. Like for people who have like an iPhone right now, look at if you can find one. I haven't owned an iPhone in a long time, so I'm not sure if they still do it. But they used to have a little screws on the bottom. That wasn't a regular screw head. to get that screw off of there.
It's also with the, you know, like the charging port, the lightning port is, you know, Apple proprietary, unfortunately, but there's some, again, legislation that's, you know, being proposed for that people to, that they have to have the same stuff. You can't just keep, I don't want a Willy Wonka exponential express as the charging cable for this. And then it's USB-C for everything else. Like, no, look, you creating a lot of e-waste with that, man. Come on.
I don't know. I don't want to make it sound like we're just piling on Apple, but I mean, hey, they're involved in a lot of this stuff. And there's a lot of other companies that do it too.
Yes.
And hopefully this legislation gets worked out are allowed to fix or just even try to fix their products that you've purchased.
Yeah. Just give them the option. I mean, not everybody wants to do that. Other people may just want to go.
I can tell you right now, I would never try to fix my own cell phone, but you know, I will to add. I know you. Well, you got you the different kind of, the whole different kind of thing. But you know, I will definitely take my stuff to where it needs to go to get fixed. And I'm going to be smart though. I'm definitely going to shop around and check. But just like my story with the MacBook, like I had at the time one option, and they didn't even try to fix it. Like they straight up were just like, no, it's too old for us to really even to look at it, even though we know what's wrong with it, and we can fix it. We're just not going to.
Not even going to try to refurbish it. Nothing. Or give you credit for it. Nothing. Just.
No, nothing. Just.
3Gs, please.
You just need to buy a new laptop. And that definitely wasn't going to happen. Let's go ahead and call this one an episode, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to the Cool Black Nerd Podcast. Again, check us out on social media. Always go check out SayWhatRadio.com. There are several podcasts in our network that I think everybody would enjoy and love. And just have a great time listening to.
Always. We out.